The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
A couple of weeks ago, I referred you to an article Herbert Armstrong wrote early on in his conversion back in 1927 about the problem with the younger generation and the major influences on the youths back in that day. The home, I suppose those influences would still be about the same today, whether for good or for bad. The home, the school, the church, and then outside friends, activities, and so on. And with respect to the church, he said churches today had proved themselves incapable of meeting the modern problems of youth. He said in this article from 1927, two outstanding lures have robbed the churches of the young people, modern amusements and modern rationalistic skepticism, the outgrowth of evolution. The churches have failed, he said, to meet these momentous new snares because they have been found wanting in sound doctrine. They've turned the Bible upside down. The churches haven't helped matters. They haven't helped the youth because they've gotten so far away from sound doctrine. They've turned the Bible on its head. And so it's no wonder, as Mr. Armstrong was bringing out there, that so many young people wander away from the Bible, wander away from the truth, because what they see in religion is so weak and shallow and watered down and liberalized. I want to take you through a few scriptures that we went through in one of my college classes here recently on just the purity and the soundness of true doctrine, God's doctrines. God's doctrines that are the same today as they were yesterday, as they were in the days of the Apostle Paul, as they were in the days of Herbert Armstrong. Let's look first at Titus, the book of Titus, chapter 1, 1 and 2 Timothy, and then Titus there in the New Testament. It says in verse 9 of Titus 1, holding fast the faithful word, as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers, it says. Hold fast to this faithful truth, Titus, that you might be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers, to actually convince those who are skeptics, who aren't believers, because of the truth, holding on to the truth, that word for sound, where it's used together with doctrine. If you look at that word in the New Testament, in several instances, it has to do with being in good health physically. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. It says in 3 John 1, be in health there, coming from that same Greek word that's translated as sound in Titus 1 and verse 9. And so Paul was talking to his assistant, Titus, about how to be healthy or how to promote health in the congregation, spiritually speaking, that is. If you look at the instruction that Jesus gave in Matthew 9, he said that those who are whole, or the healthy, in other words, they don't need a physician. It's rather the sick and the infirmed that need a physician, that need the doctor. And then in the next verse there, this is in Matthew 9, the middle of the chapter, Christ said that he came to call sinners to repentance. He came to heal the sick, physically and spiritually. Sin, as the Bible says, is the transgression of God's law. And when you put that together with what Jesus said in Matthew 9 and what Jeremiah wrote in chapter 17 of his book about the heart being deceitful and desperately wicked, and it says in that same passage that the man who trusts in his own wicked heart will inhabit the parched places of the wilderness. In other words, man, apart from God, is not healthy. He's sick and infirmed. That's what Jeremiah 17 and Matthew 9 are saying. He's in need of healing. Now back up a few pages to what Paul said to Timothy. This is 1 Timothy 1. We need to be healed. Sin brings sickness into our lives. Whether you look at the physical laws that bring physical sickness if we violate them, or God's spiritual laws that bring spiritual sickness and death when we transgress those as well. Notice what Paul said to Timothy. This is 1 Timothy 1 and verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for the sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, you see, all of these perverse and sick ways of life, they go contrary to sound doctrine. They go contrary to sound, healthy, life-building doctrine. Move along to chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4. See what he says here. Paul does in verse 6. It says, if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, you shall be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto you have attained. Nourished, he says there, strengthened, made healthy by the words of faith, by good doctrine. Paul said, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise yourself rather unto godliness. Steer clear of all of these unprofitable exercises, profane and foolish questions and contentions, and instead exercise yourself unto godliness. We have to consume God's truth. That's why all of our programs and our articles too, for that matter, for the most part, they all point you to material that you can study, that you can read, that you can go through, that you can consume. We have to consume it, God's truth, good doctrine, if we expect to be spiritually healthy. Notice what Paul says in verse 8, for bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Just as it takes a healthy diet and regular exercise to maintain sound physical health, so it takes a steady diet of good doctrine. So it takes consistent spiritual workouts to maintain sound health in the spiritual sense. Paul said just in the next chapter, or the next book, 2 Timothy 1. Notice verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God wants us to have a sound, healthy mind. Now, when you look at the world today, you don't see many of those. You don't see it among the young. You don't see it in the older generation either. You see a lot of instability. You see a lot of mental sickness. You see a lot of, frankly, demon influence. Satan has been cast down. His demons are confined to this earth. And look at the way people are behaving. Look at what human beings are doing to one another. If we get away from God's truth, if we get away from sound doctrine, we're just opening ourselves up to sickness and disease, whether you look at it physically or spiritually. One thing that I'm very thankful for in this church that I represent is that God has given us so much pure health-building doctrine. He's given us so much truth to regularly consume. Coming through Mr. Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong, dating back to even 1927, as I quoted to you at the start, that article from Mr. Armstrong early on in his conversion, and all throughout his ministry, volumes and volumes, and it's continued right through to the PCG, the Philadelphia Church of God, after which this station, this radio station is named KPCG. Volumes of truth, past and present. God says we've got to be established in it. If we're going to be healthy, we have to be established in this truth. If we're going to be set apart, as it says in John 17, we have to be set apart by the truth. If you look at the Greek word for set apart, it can also mean purity. What is it that makes us holy and pure? What is it that makes us healthy and sound, spiritually speaking? Well, it's God's truth. And of course, the power of God working in us as well. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit together with these holy scriptures, as they're called in 2 Timothy 3. In that passage, Paul says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. God inspired the Bible to be put together. He organized it and preserved it so that we might use it as our divine source for good doctrine, for sound doctrine, for teaching and instruction. Let's just conclude over in John 6. John chapter 6, and look at the words of Jesus Christ here. John 6 and verse 31, it says, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. So Christ gets right to the point here of what it all meant, what they went through there in the Old Testament, what it pointed to. Our fathers were in the desert, and God rained manna from heaven. They received nourishment and strength and health physically because of God's miraculous supply of food. Verse 33, for the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. Jesus Christ is that spiritual manna that we take into our flesh, into our minds. How? How do you do that? Verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me has everlasting life, I am the bread of life, he repeats. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And so Jesus Christ is the living bread that comes down from heaven. Jesus Christ, as Mr. Armstrong wrote in Mystery of the Ages, is the personal Word of God. He is the Logos. That's the Greek word there for word. Capital W, as you can see in John 1 and 1 John 1 as well. The word means spokesman. He speaks for God. Now, when he was on earth in the first century, he spoke for God in person. Today, the Bible is that same Word of God in print. So we have the words from the spokesman. We have them in print, in the form of the Holy Bible. Verse 63, later on in the chapter, it says, "It is the Spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." That's what matters. The flesh profits nothing, but the words that Christ gives to us, they are spirit, they're spiritual, and they are life. That's what God's words amount to. Life. Life eternal. When you study your Bible, when you study these scriptures, you are eating Jesus Christ's flesh. You are devouring these life-giving words. They're spiritual, as he says here. They impart life. They fill your life with God's life. That's what leads us right into the family of God. And so we have to consume these sound doctrines if we expect to have a sound mind. Philippians 2:5 says to let the mind of Christ in. Let the mind of Christ in you. And you can, if you receive these precious words and develop that two-way conversation with God, prayer and Bible study together. Verse 66 says, "From that time many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him." Many in his day just turned away and walked away from this. And many have done the same thing in our day, to the point where it almost seems routine for people who've had their eyes open to the truth and then turn away from the truth, from sound doctrine, to fables, to vain babblings, to vain imaginations, to human reasoning. Verse 67, "Then Jesus said unto the 12, Will you also go away? And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Where else could we go? Peter said to him. This is life, what you've given us. Everything else is just a temporary chemical existence. That's it. Everything in this life, physically, it's like a blade of grass. It's just like a vapor. Here for a moment, and then it's gone. Nothing. But these precious words are life. eternal life, life that gets you beyond the grave. Make sure that you consume these precious, life-giving words. Make sure you devour God's truth. What is it that Jesus said over in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5? Matthew chapter 5, we can just finish with this. In Matthew 5 and verse 6, Christ said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." How hungry are you for God's truth? In the physical sense, it doesn't take very long, does it? Just a few hours, sometimes less, before we experience those hunger pangs. But what is it that we really need to be hungry for? Jesus said, "My meat, my meal is to do the will of Him that sent me, to do the work." Spiritual food. That's what God wants us to be filled with. Blessed are you if you hunger and thirst for these righteous words, for this sound doctrine. You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show on KPCG 101.3 on the FM dial in Edmond, Oklahoma. And of course, the live stream is available anywhere in the world, as long as you have internet access. Just go to kpcg.fm. As always, we want to thank you for joining us on today's program, and we'll see you again tomorrow.